If you've ever been around me, you know that I can't just teach. I got to have some, what was the term that was used tonight? Props. I heard the word props tonight. Well, if you're looking for props, then there will be props tonight. If that's, I would prefer to call them illustrations. If you would turn to the book of Ephesians, and we'll be in chapter number 4 starting off. I'll allow you some time to get there. Does anybody have to be at work early in the morning? I don't speak. Oh, we do have someone. I will apologize then, because normally I'm done in like 20 minutes. Could you tell me what? Oops. What's that number right there? Seven typed pages tonight. And I'm not an auctioneer. No one will ever accuse me of talking fast. Some people would like for me to talk fast to get done sooner, but are y'all there at Ephesians chapter number 4? Why don't we pray, and as I used to say with the younger group was, thank you for the help from the front row. Let's pray and let's get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your love, your mercy, and grace. Father, we thank you so much for all that have come out tonight. I pray, Father God, you'd just help us tonight. Help me, Father God. Help give me the right words, and Father God, that I would not disappoint you tonight, Father. And I just pray that I could be a help to these folks. And I just pray that each one of us, including myself, would open our ears and our hearts to your word. And Father God, that the instructions that you give, Father, that we don't just ignore them, Father God, that we would take them seriously. We do pray for our preacher. Just pray that you'd be with him and Mrs. Mast. I pray that you would bring them back safely tomorrow. We do pray for those who are hurting tonight, for those who've lost loved ones. And Father God, just give them grace. And Father God, there's others that are hurting out here as well that they need your grace as well. Father God, I just pray that you'd work in hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're not going to dive right into Ephesians chapter number 4, but I would like to explain something. Is there any history buffs in here? Anybody loves history? A few folks? Does anybody know anything about the Civil War Enrollment Act of 1863? That many people, huh? Did I see a hand in the back? No, it wasn't. She goes, oh no, not me. During the Civil War, both the North and the South had issues with trying to get troops to actually serve. And Congress actually set up an act in 1863 called this act I just talked about. And in that act, it talks about a draft and drafting people to men to fight. Well, they had trouble getting men to join. So they, part of this act, made it so that you can be offering a substitution. You could, if you had the money, pay somebody to go fight for you. Anybody got a guess how much that cost, that rich individual, to pay somebody to go fight for them? $300. If you had $300, you could hire somebody to go and fight for you. $300. That's about $5,000 today. Congress thought they were doing people a favor because, you know, $5,000 today, $300 back then, that's not that much, right? Like, yeah, it is. They did get some takers, but it was a little disappointing to our president at the time of the North, and President Lincoln wanted to help with that. He was not eligible to go to war. There's something about being president, I guess. You don't have to go in and fight. Also, he's too old. He was older than what the draft limit was. Do you know what he did? He still went after a substitute just to encourage the rest of the nation to try to support the nation. So he found, actually, one of his aides found this young man walking in front of the White House, 19 years old. His name was John Staples, 19-year-old from Pennsylvania. He said, hey, got a proposition for you. Won't you come with me into the White House? Goes in there and says, and here's the president, and says, hey, I would like for you to be my substitute. I want you to go and serve for 1 year, and you'll be a clerk. I'm not going to put you in the battle, but you are going to be a representative for this system of substitution. And this is actually a copy of that agreement. I was able to negotiate this with the internet and print it out. If you'd like to see it later on, you can see that Abraham Lincoln did sign this, and this young man chose to be a substitute for Abraham Lincoln and served in the military. Now, he really wasn't old enough, but he was willing to go. And that was one of the things about the substitutions, is that they had to be willing to go. But that kind of upset some people. Matter of fact, let me make sure I get the term right. They actually named the Civil War, it was a rich man's war, but a poor man's fight. Let's put those folks fighting for us. I've never served. Maybe I'm in that category. I've never paid anybody to go for me. But this wasn't something special. It wasn't something new. Throughout Europe, for centuries, men were hiring other men to fight their battles for them. Again, a rich man's war, but a poor man's fight. A substitution. Now, turning to Ephesians chapter number 4, and this is going to bother me all night, so I have to do something with it. I'll put it in here.
Does this bother you?
There. Ephesians chapter number 4, starting in verse number 10. And he ascended is the same as that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. I'm going to stop there. For edifying the body of Christ. He's given the body of Christ, and if you don't know, that is those who are saved. This body. He's given us these individuals to edify us, to help us. But what about everybody else? What about everybody else? Page 1. Let's move on to verse number 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the edifying work, effectual work, in the measure of every part, making an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We are to work together, as this is saying, as a body of Christ. Work together. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the assistant pastor. It's not just the deacon. It's not just the song leader. It's not just the piano player. And when you think about those who serve in the body of Christ, those are probably the ones you think of. You don't think of anyone else. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. But those are the heavy hitters, right? And by the way, those who are in my Sunday school class, please try to stay awake. I know this is a repeat. It is, by the way. I recycled some things here. Thank you for staying awake. Appreciate that. For the amen. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Is anybody wondering why the box is up here? Not yet? There's a reason.
At least you don't have the yellow tail.
No yellow tail day. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Again, see my hand shaking? Again, this is important to me because this is laid on my heart as something that I needed to share. It's not something that I say, I wonder what I could talk about tonight. Well, this is burning on me. This is something that it's not just this last couple of weeks. This has been on my heart for years. But I've never been given the liberty to talk about it. I've been talking about it. But to preach about it till now. And at the start of a new year, I think it might help you. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we're going to read just one verse. And you're saying, thank you. You have a lot of trouble reading. Yes, I do. I'm dyslexic. You know what that means? Words and numbers are backwards for me. And I have to study and stare. And you get the picture. So you're saying, oh, one verse. I think it's a long one, though, so be patient with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 28. Did I say that already? It is verse 28. And this is going to sound like a repeat. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, and secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues. There is one word in there I want you to look at really close. One word. Well, look at them all, but this I want you to focus on this one word. It's towards the end, and the word is helps. Helps. What does that mean, to help? Really, Mr. Porter? You don't know what help means? Yeah, I do. It was a rhetorical question. Help. When I go and help you, that means I'm not leading. That means I'm supporting somebody. Right. And the Bible is saying here that God has given us people to be helpers. Mm-hmm. We all can't be the pastor. We're not all called to be the pastor. But you know what? He needs help. We're not all called to be the assistant pastor, but he needs help. We're not all called to be Sunday school teachers, but they need help. Right, Brother Jim? We seem to miss that. It's somebody else's job. And if I step on your toes tonight, too bad. We all have some ability. God has given each one of us talents and abilities. If you're saved tonight, God has given you an ability. You might not think it's appropriate. Oh, I really can't use it here. It's just not good. I'm good at these things that the church doesn't. That is garbage. God can use your talent. He wouldn't have gave it to you otherwise. And it's meant to edify the body. Again, we can't all be the Sunday school. I can't even talk. That's why I'm not. We all can't be the Sunday school teacher. We all can't be the piano player. Have you ever heard me play the piano?
No.
You don't want to. Any other musical instruments? Nope. Can't do it. I have tried. I have. It's not, there's just like emotions and playing stuff. I'm technical. Black and white. That's really, it's right or wrong. That's why I love math. There's only one answer. English class, ooh. Literature, yeah, I'm thinking no. Math, I love because it is something black and white. Here's an equation, and there's an answer. That's me. I can't play the piano. I don't have that talent. There's a lot of things I don't have the talent to do. You may not believe this. I don't have a lot of patience. My brother's the doctor. He needs the patience. Yeah. I don't. And sometimes, there are witnesses here, I get a little bit excited when things don't go the way I think they should. So you're going to say, well, why are you doing it then? I'm referring to working with small children.
Yes.
Why do you do it? Because my pastor asked me to.
Amen.
He said he needed help. Who will help me? I will. And you know what? It's been a blessing. You might think, why would you volunteer for something that you don't like? I didn't see a lot of other hands go up. When my pastor asked, I volunteered. I took this word help seriously. I'm no leader. Now, I've worked as a leader for a lot of years. I don't like it. I can help, though. But you know what? I'm not going to run roughshod over pastor and say, I'm going to do these things, pastor. No, I'm going to present to him as I have. And he knows what my skill levels are. And when he needs me, he calls me. But sometimes he doesn't. You know why? He shared this with me, and this isn't being recorded or anything. Don't let your dad hear it, by the way. Okay? I'm just kidding. You can record if you want. Just distract your dad so he doesn't hear it. He shared this with me. He says, Brother Porter, there's times that I need your help, but I don't want to bother you because I call on you too much. You help too much. Why would he say that? I know this is arrogant. I know that it's probably going to step on some toes, but the reason he said that is because he doesn't know who else to call. Because the hands aren't being raised.
Right.
Let me help you. As a body of believers, it is our job to help each other. You are obligated. Did you know that? That sounded like something I probably shouldn't have said. There's a politician that says that a lot, and I probably don't want to repeat her. Once you piece that all together. In chapter number 12, verse number 4. Now, there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. You know what? When you have a central hub where all the work and all the knowledge is coming from, which is the Holy Spirit, and there's diversity of gifts and abilities, He can kind of direct us, right? And He's like, well, wait a minute. I forgot about so-and-so. You think He really does that? That He's forgot about a member of the body of Christ. He's God. He's not going to forget. Well, maybe if I hide, the Holy Spirit won't see me and I won't have to raise my hand. He still sees you. Just thought I'd clue you in on that. Skip down to verse number 11. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit divideth to every man severally as He will. Every man. That means man and woman, okay? Don't just not say, well, I'm off the hook, He said man. No, man and woman. All. You're not excluded. Now, I will promise you one thing. I'm not an expert, but I can promise you one thing. A skill, ability, a talent, sitting in a pew is not one of them.
Right.
We're not all called to keep the foam pad in the seat warm. It's not necessary. Now, we want you to come to church, okay? Don't get me wrong there. Come to church. But just sitting and not helping or serving, how does that sound as being part of the body of Christ? Where we're all supposed to help each other. It says every man. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Not one member, but many. So while my skill set is not, again, in line with the services, I checked something the other day. I don't know, you can double check me if you like. You don't have to go to the internet. I'm sure there's some resources you can go to get this information. But my resources tell me that the body of Christ doesn't just exist on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evenings. It happens that the body of Christ exists on Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday evening, and you get the rest, right? Fellow believers, fellow members of the body of Christ, we don't just have issues on Sundays and Wednesdays, do we? So what are we doing? How are we helping each other? Remember that word, helps? If you don't get anything tonight, or just one thing, please get that one small word. Apply it to your life to be a helps to the body. Isn't it more blessed to give than to receive? I think my Lord said that. And if He said it, I think that's pretty important, isn't it? Well, I just want you to be blessed because you helped me. Really? That's your life? You want to be around so that people can be blessed because they're helping you? Well, what about you helping because the blessings aren't getting to you, are they? Are they? Verse 22. Well, obviously it's not verse 22 because that doesn't match what I have written down. It doesn't matter where you're the strongest person or the weakest. There are four verses in the Bible that say well done. The actual words well done. Now there are several verses where well and done are in the verse, but there's four verses in the Bible that say well done. Two of them say well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want you to turn there. It's in the book of Matthew. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. So those of you that are in my Sunday school class, are you bored yet? Matthew chapter number 25, starting in verse number 14. Again, if you've been in church at any length of time, you know what Jesus is talking about in these verses. But we're going to cover them one more time. Are you ready? I will attempt to read, and you will try not to cringe. Okay, starting verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants. Stop right there. A master calling his own servants. Now this parable, if you don't know, is really a parable about God and calling his own. Own. Now, who is his own? Give me a hint.
The body of Christ.
Did you catch that? He's called his servants. He's called three of them, right? Called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave five talents. Now, this talent is not being able to sing and dance and twirl plates on a stick. A talent, if you don't know, is a measure of weight. One talent. Now, it's different in different cultures, but it's roughly between 20 and 40 kilograms. Well, let's use 30. 30 kilograms. How many know what a kilogram is? A few folks, good. A kilogram is 2.206 pounds. Okay, so 66 pounds is what we're going to talk about. 66 pounds. Yeah, we're going to speak American tonight. And one he gave 5 talents. So, 5 times 66 pounds. Now, you can call that gold, you can call that silver, and if you were to talk about, in today's dollars, 1 talent of 30 kilograms, one, is $1.4 million for gold. If you were talking in terms of silver, it's $17,000 for a talent. Okay? $17,000. He gave him 5. Has anybody ever gave you that much money? Now, my boss has given me that kind of money because that's what I do, or used to do. I'm retiring, by the way. I didn't know if you knew that. We're talking possibly millions of dollars he gave a servant. Didn't say employee. Servant. Now, seems like a lot of value. Seems pretty important, doesn't it? Even the one that got the one. We'll get down to there. So let's go ahead and keep reading here. I'll stop and we'll go right back into this. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Based off of their ability, not all of them were financially sounded. One of them was probably pretty good with money. Gave him 5. One was probably still kind of learning. He gave him 2. And one was kind of a novelist. He gave him 1. Again, it was all based on their ability. You seeing a link here? And he that had received 5 talents went and traded the same and made them another 5 talents. He had a skill and ability, and he didn't just sit on it. He used it for the master. He used it for the master. He had that skill and ability, and not the same talent as the money or the gold or silver. But he had abilities because it was given to him. The amount was determined based off how good he was at what he did. He made 5. And I don't think he made 5 and then sat down in the recliner and waited till the master came back. I believe he worked very, very hard until the very end. I'm going to do the best I can for my master. The one that had 2 talents, let's find out what they did. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. I'm sure he worked from the very beginning that he was given the task until the master came back. He worked very, very hard, and he doubled his 2. Doubled it. Just like the first guy did. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought... This is verse number 20, sorry. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto... Excuse me. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over many things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Have you heard that before? That was the guy who had 5 talents and now has 10. That's the person that learned as they went and improved. If you have a talent and you just sit on it and don't try to improve upon it, shame on you. God wants you to grow. He doesn't give you the meat of the word just so that you can founder yourself. For the farmers, you probably don't know what that means, but you talk to Brother Dustin later on what foundering is. It's not pouring metal and making for those that work in... Anyway. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. Got your seatbelts on? His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. If you do the math and just look at silver, the second one made about 103,000 dollars less than the first one. He made less money, less profit. What was the reward for the first one? Well done, a good and faithful servant. What was the reward for the second one who didn't do as much, or maybe did? Well done, my good and faithful servant. You know what? We're not equal. I don't care what anybody tells you. We're not equal. And we never will be on this earth. We won't. But in God's eyes, you can be. You know, the Bible does teach us that, you know, in Isaiah 55:8. Why don't you turn there? I want you to see it. Isaiah 55:8. The reason I say that, because I know it's a little bit harder for us to find in the Old Testament, and gives me time to catch up. 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, saith the Lord. The way we think is not the way God thinks. It's not. And we think that, well, if you're not in an important position at church, why does it matter? I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to sit back and watch. I'll sing. I'll open my Bible and read along. But if I can't have an important job, I mean, no one's going to appreciate me. Ouch. The one that had five got the same reward as the one that got two. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Let's go back to Matthew 25. And you know how the parable goes in verse number 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathereth where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, I'm going to pause there. How happy do you think he was? We're about to find out, aren't we? Thou wicked and slothful servant. You may not like me. That's okay. But those of us who sit on our talents and not use them that God has given you and not use it for the body of Christ, this is you. Wicked and slothful. This master gave them something to do based off of their abilities that they had, and they one of them sat on it. Didn't do anything with the talent and ability that God had given them. And he called him wicked and slothful. Had he doubled what he had, what do you think God or the master would have said? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I believe that. Because, again, in God's eyes, he knows what you're capable of. Because he's given you that talent. And if you fulfill that ability, praise God, it's like a parent.
Because he is our parent, right? Heavenly Father, right? You got that relationship figured out? I have 5 kids. Well, they're not kids anymore, are they? There's my baby over there. She's 20. They're not the same. Here's my oldest. I got 2 engineers as kids. Kids, I called you a kid. You like that, don't you? He likes being called young. 2 engineers. I have another one that's an accountant for a large company. And my little boy is a microbiologist. They're not all the same, are they? When I talked about engineering with Ian, he goes, yuck. He still works with math. Who's he trying to fool? They all work with math. Right? But they don't all work equal. Can I tell you a little secret? Plug your ears, both of you.
I love them equally.
And God loves you equally too. If He's given you an ability and a talent to do something and you do it, praise the Lord! You're doing what He wants you to do! But yet we think that it's just not important enough. I got a little bit of demonstration. You're probably wondering, when are we going to get to this box on this table? So, I build stuff. I don't know if you know that. I kind of like to build stuff. I'll put this box here. Can I move your hat? Thank you. And that cord got in the way again. There's power involved. I'm going to plug it in over here. Brother Victor, you may want to move down. No, I'm just kidding. You should be safe. You should be safe. Where is that? There it is. Is this nice? Harbor Freight. Harbor Freight. You know what this is? Well, thank you very much. A light switch. There's no light hooked up to it, though. It's a switch. Okay, we'll go with that. It's a switch. We'll put that switch right there. Okay? Guess what? I got the light. I brought the light. And you can't go anywhere without power. There's the power. Just a hint. Don't plug that in yet. You get an owie. It will hurt. It may look like this when you're done. I'll get this box out of the way here. I like to spread things out. But there's something missing here. We think about those things that are important, like the power, right? You think about when you need power, you flip the lights on. If you, hey, it doesn't work. Guess what? You're out of power. You think of power, don't you? By the way, does anybody flip the switch on and the light not work? Yeah, that happens to all of us, doesn't it? At least I hope so. I didn't want to be left out. Another important thing, when you're talking about lighting, you kind of have to have the light, don't you? When you kind of have the light? It's important, right? Lights. Needy part of lights. You can quote me on that, by the way. But you don't want your lights on all the time. Who wants to pay that electric bill? By the way, that's an LED light bulb. It's very energy conservative, but well, that's beside the point. You want to be able to...
Sorry about that.
You want to be able to turn it on and off. Ready? You watching? Here we go. Ready to be impressed? Watch this. Huh. Didn't quite work. Must not have planned that one out very well, did I? No, the fact of the matter is that even though these may be the major components to making the light, they're not all the parts. I don't know if you saw me sneak something into my pocket just then, but I'm going to slide over here.
and pull out something here. What is that?
Yeah.
Nope. Anybody? A wire nut. And you will not be allergic to these, by the way. Just want to let you know. These are not going to make you sick. You don't need your EpiPen or anything like that. You'll be fine. Wire nut. This is important, but it's small. Now, I can sit here all night trying to hold the wires together, but that would be a bad idea. Yeah. It'd be terrible. And you know what we do, though? We expect the pastor to. We call him up. Pastor, got a problem. Okay, I'll come right over. And he does. I'm going to lay that right there for right now. Remember when I said, how many of you raise your hand whenever he needs help? He doesn't expect you to be an expert on day one. Say, Pastor, I'm just giving you some suggestions. You can do whatever you want with your talent and ability. Pastor, I'm pretty good at some things. I'd be willing to help with these. Can I help with those? And he might just let you help. Well, I've done before. I said, how did you approach him? How many? Can we talk here? Privately? You can record it too. How many messes do you think he has to clean up because of people trying to help that thought they knew what they were doing? I don't know all of them, but I've had to help clean up some of those messes because someone went in like a bowl in a china shop rather than with the right heart, a helpful heart. I said, can I help with that situation? When the electricity, we got problems with the wiring, I sometimes get called for that. Could you give me a call? I'd like to help and even learn a little bit more. Would you let me? And going back to those three individuals, those three servants, the one that had five, oh, that's four, there's five. When it was all said and done, he had how many? Wrong, 11. Because the other servant, he gave that talent to him as well. He grew his talent. And pun is intended. You can grow over time being a helper. Do you think, again, this is arrogant of me, I'm sorry, you can throw darts at me later, I don't care. You can throw them at now, I don't care if you got darts. Who's got darts? Nobody? I wasn't always a deacon. Do you know that? I've been a deacon a long time. But I grew up in church, raising my hand. I'll help. I'll apply the skills, talents, and abilities that God has given me. I'll help. And I wasn't that smart. Still not. But as a member of the body of Christ, it's my job to help. And it's your job too. Let's be blunt. It's your job too. To help. And to grow. Let's put this thing together. What do you think? Let's see how these tiny little things. There are only three of them, by the way. Three of them. I'll work this all out. Hopefully I won't blow any fingers off. We do have an EMT in the back of the room, so we're safe. Right, Jonas? Please? Please? Well, again, we learn from our mistakes and we grow from it. We are growing from it. We're growing. So I'm going to take these two here. And again, you should be safe there, Brother Mallory. I hope, being that close. So it's a puzzle. Oh, look, we got... No, let's not plug it in yet. We're going to take this one here and let's spin this like that and take this like this. And You think it's really going to work? You might be surprised. Here we go. Put those two together like that. Those colors look good. Let's put these two together here. Hold on to your children. Oops. Oops. Oh, there we go. Yes. I talked to myself. Did you notice that? So, let's see. Switches. How's that switch go? What's that look like? I've also had cataract surgery. I'm messed up. Let me tell you. That is off. Okay, I'm going to walk over here. I won't block you there, so I'll take this, and I'm going to plug it into my Harbor Freight power supply. Anybody seen sparks? Okay, we're still good. Yeah, somebody may want to... Who has a flashlight? We might need them. Here we go. Are you ready? Let's see how important those three little... What are they? Wire nuts. How important those little things that you don't even think about. Do you know the ceiling's full of them? Oh, come on, Mr. Ford, just turn on the light. Okay. Calm down. Let's see if it works. Oh, hey! Three little pieces. Those little things there. It's not the light. It's not the switch. It's not the power. You don't think you're important? That little thing right there gave power. This is the help. You don't think that you're important? In God's eyes, you're hugely important. Just as this is important. You know what? Over time, though, as we work in the church, in the body of Christ, and as we grow, we might gain some of those responsibilities as we go. But that shouldn't be our goal. Our goal is to take what God has given us and use it for His glory. Not ours. His. This may be you to the day that you're no longer with us. But if that's what God's called you to do, do it to the best of your ability. Turn those 5 into 11. Because you're important to God. And you are part of the body. We're a small church. We don't have, this is really philosophical, we don't have hundreds of people, do we? Some of us have to double up and do some things to help. It's, again, not just the pastor's job. But some days, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. Come on Saturday nights, men, to the men's prayer meeting, and you'll see pastor usually dressed in dirty clothes because he's been out helping people all day long. He could have used some help. By the way, he's not paying me a dime to say anything tonight. Matter of fact, he's probably going to yell at me for talking about this stuff because he doesn't like this kind of attention. But he's not here. And Jonas hasn't been back there going, no. Nothing like that. So we're good, right? We understand that there is a need to help within the body of Christ, right? We all know that. We know that. Back to 1 Corinthians 12. You're there in verse number 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seemed to be more feeble are necessary. If you're strong or if you're feeble, guess what? You are necessary. That means you're important in God's eyes. You're necessary. We all need you. No matter your skill, level, or ability, we need you. And hopefully you need me. Because that's where we're at. Now, this is the first Sunday of the year. And you probably know what your skills and abilities are that God has given you. Now, I'm not asking you to swarm pastor's office and say, "Pastor, use me!" No. Go with a humble heart. Say, "I want to help. I don't want to mess up. And I don't want you to have to clean up after me. So, I just want to be a helper. And here's what I can do." And again, church, the body of Christ, doesn't just exist on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evenings. It's every day. And sometimes that help is needed on Monday or Tuesday, or Thursday or Friday. Make yourself available. Raise your hand. Say, "I'll help. I'll help. I may not be really good at it right now, but I know God has given me this ability, and I want to use it. I want to use it serving here." That's really all I wanted to share with you tonight. That you are, no matter who you are extremely important and extremely necessary to the body of Christ. For years, you know, growing up, I didn't know what my part was. I didn't know. Growing, I'm a teenager, I don't know. What am I supposed to do? All I've heard was, "You need to serve." How? Hopefully tonight you realize that God has given you abilities, talents, and skills that may not apply to this service right now, but you still have a part in the body of Christ in the helps. Are you willing to help? Are you willing to be a servant? Are you willing to allow that skill, talent, and ability to grow and to be used? And then at the end, hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Is that what you want for yourself? Or do you want to hear that you're wicked and slothful? By sitting on your talents and not using them for the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to talk about, well, the folks in this room, the body of believers, Christians.